Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
And so this morning, we're going to finish talking to you about identity. I want to talk about performance and possessions. The Bible calls it idolatry. Idolatry is basically the worship of or the trust in anything other than God. And performance, basically, and you can go ahead and put up the next slide, but performance and possessions are this. We can have an identity that's based on performance. That's, look what I did, right? And possessions, look what I have. Look what I did, and look what I have, because that's what we say when we're little kids, right? But we still say that as adults, but we just say it in a different way, a nicer way. So there is a scripture this morning that I wanted to share, because Jesus actually is approached by this young man, relatively young man, but he was very wealthy. Your Bible, it might say the rich young ruler or the rich ruler. This wasn't just a rich person. This was a very wealthy, powerful, influential person in Israel. And this guy runs up to Jesus and asks him a question. We're going to look at that right now. So let's go ahead and look at Luke 18, verses 1 through 20. I'm sorry. I think it's 18 through 23. And the ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Now, here's the interesting thing about performance and about what this guy is saying. The very first thing he says is what? He asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" You see something wrong with that? If your mom and dad passed away, you inherit something because of what? What did you have to do to earn your inheritance from your parents? I mean, if they were really sadistic, I guess they could, you know, "Come on, if you do better, I'll rewrite my will." I mean, that's kind of messed up, and that does happen. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. But we don't earn our inheritance, right? Our inheritance is what? It's given. It's just received. You just receive your inheritance. There's nothing you can do to earn it, and that's a big verb that you ought to underline here. See, that's the first mistake that he makes, is he says, "What must I do to earn eternal life?" And the truth is, you can do nothing to earn eternal life. Eternal life is given to you freely by Jesus Christ, by what he has done on the cross. It's not what you can do, it's what he has done. He died on the cross for our sins that we might have life eternally. He paid the price for our sins, the price of sin, or the price of sin is rebellion against God, which we do by nature. But he said, "Look, I'm going to pay the price for you. I'm going to walk among you." What God, what creator would do that? If you were all powerful and you had created this world, I mean, would you really want to go down, be among them, go through all the stuff that they went through? You know what I'm saying? What would make you do that? It's love. He loved us, his own, so much that he was willing to die for us, God experiencing death as a human being. It's hard to fathom in our minds. But he did this for us. So when we say there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation, or nothing you can do to earn your inheritance, there isn't, really. Now, we can live in a way that pleases God, and he can reward us, yes, and he can bless us, but salvation is something freely given. There's nothing you can do. But this runs against, doesn't this run against the way that we believe, right? The world believes? Because even Adam and Eve, when God said, you can have all this, just don't eat of this tree over here. And they thought, he's hiding something. He doesn't want us to have power. He doesn't want us. What's the catch, right? Oh, God, you're all for me, huh? This eternal life thing, it's free, right? I don't know about that. I think I have to do something, right? That's what most people believe. If they even believe there's a heaven, they think, well, I guess if I work hard, that's our nature. Screams against this whole thing of free salvation, free inheritance. So that's the first thing he says. See, it's not earned. And then you'll notice that his whole life, again, his life, it's about position, it's about performance. The pursuit of happiness, I think this is where what we've got to talk about this morning is, because I think it's the false religion of America. It's in the Declaration of Independence, not in the Bible, right? Everybody has the right to pursue happiness. The problem is when we make it a religion and we pursue happiness. And so I remember, and I didn't read the book, but I remember this cartoon from a long time ago. It was called The Bunny and the Carrot. You ever see this? There's a bunny, and I think they called it Sexy Carrot. And the bunny saw the carrot, and the bunny went to go after the carrot, and the carrot kept running away. And then it did all these things. It followed it all over the place, all these countries. Finally, it went to the moon, and it finally got the carrot. And then he died. Right? And we chase this carrot. We chase it. We chase stuff. We chase this life, all these things that we think are going to make us happy. And then we finally get it, and it's not enough. Carrot and the stick. No matter what we do, no matter how much we have, this pursuit of happiness is basically a carrot on a stick. And God is saying, stop paying attention to the carrot and the stick. Trust me, and I will provide. Amen? And so there's nothing wrong with being happy. But when we make it our sole goal in life, you know, if I just get this job, I'll be happy. If I just get this house, I'll be happy. If I just remodel this house the way I want it, I'll be happy. If I just get this person in my life, this relationship, I'll finally be happy. And then we put all our hopes on this person, and we almost treat them like God, and then we wonder why we're so bent out of shape when they disappoint us, because they're a human being just like us. Wow. I thought I was going to be happy, but then they let me down. Well, that's what people do, because we're all fallible. Amen? Anybody here perfect? Right? So, somebody's going to raise their hand one day just to mess with me, because that's how we do, right? But this pursuit of happiness thing, it is a false religion. People think it's Christianity, and they replace all this pursuit of happiness. That's not Christianity. God wants you to be happy, but he wants you to be happy from his spirit, from deep within, from a well that's very, very deep within yourself. It's called joy, and joy is forever. Happiness comes and goes. Amen? Now, how many of you guys, you got a job, and you thought, especially as a young people, you're getting out going, flipping burgers, really? Ah, right? And you're hoping for something better. Man, what's with the schedule? They want me to work a closing and an opening the next day? Come on. Welcome to the world. I worked retail for many years, getting up at 3:30 in the morning. Wait a minute, didn't I just go sleep at 10? That's wrong. Isn't that wrong? Isn't there a law against? No, that's life, right? And then you get another job that you think, oh, this is going to be so awesome, and you find out there's certain relationship things at the workplace, and you're going, oh, this isn't exactly the job I was hoping for. Then you're wanting something else, right? And you hop from one place to one place to another place to another place, and you're never happy, because it's not about what's on the outside. It's about what's in you. No one is good except God. That's what he says. He says, why do you call me good? No one's good except God. Well, he's God, but Jesus isn't giving this young man a theology quiz at the moment. But what's he saying? He's saying, why are you calling me good? See, we think, when you look at somebody who does good things, right, who gives to the poor, and they're out and doing charitable work, you say what? Well, that's a good person. By our standard, by human standard, we have people that we think are good, and then we have, you know, murderers and pedophiles and everybody on the other end of the spectrum, and we go, oh, those are the bad, evil people, right? And then we all count ourselves somewhere in the middle. But the Bible says, nope, none of us are good.
What?
Yep. Hate to break it to you, but it says none of us are good because we're being compared to God, all of us. Doesn't mean we don't do good things, but Jesus skips the first four commandments too. Notice he says, well, if you follow the commandments. Now, he skips the first four. The first four are what? Don't worship any other god. Don't have any engraved image of me or of a god, basically. And then what does he say? There's the Sabbath in there. And there's another one, right? Is basically all our, the first four have to do with our relationship with God. But what are the other, these verses are all things that can be seen. The first four, you can't tell. Is that person like having other gods? Is that person have an idol in their life? All those things are internal. That's a personal relationship that we're supposed to have. Those are the things that are truly important. And by the way, the Sabbath is honored every day in a Christian's life because the Lord of the Sabbath lives within me. Isn't that cool? So we tend to look on the outward things. Does he honor his father and mother? Does he do all these things? He says, I've done all these things ever since I was a little guy, right? I've done all these outward works. How many of you guys feel the pressure, though, sometimes? Maybe even when you're young, you feel the pressure to be good, right? Just be good. Do right. Be a good person. And you do this, you'll be successful. All I want is a healthy family. All I want is a decent job. All I want is, you know, I'll be good. That's success, right? But God's saying, hey, never mind all that. Come to me. Start with me. And I'll lead you to the way everlasting. Success is an idol, isn't it? Right? That's where idolatry comes in. Again, it's the carrot and the stick. We're chasing after success. Now, it's not just what we do, right? We look not just what we do, but it's also what we have, our possessions. Yeah? We talk about that for a minute. Let's go. Can you go ahead and advance up there? So when we have a focus on our stuff, right? How many of you guys know it's like you're looking at your TV going, yeah, it's okay. Hey, one of the pixels gone. I got this TV and then I've had it for like 9 years. And then all of a sudden the pixel's gone, right? And so there's this line that goes to the TV on those new LEDs, on those LEDs, yeah. So one of the LEDs goes out and you have a line. They went, yeah, there's a line, but it's okay. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, break. Just break. Break. Because I know I could go down to Best Buy and get this, you know, this is the new 4K thing. And then I go like, Lord, I'm sorry. Right? Because that would make me happy. If I just had the 4K TV. And now don't they have this one that curves? I mean, I don't know what's, that's supposed to be a cool thing. Wow, look, my TV curves. Woo! Whatever. You ever look at one of those old TVs, by the way? Remember the old CRTs that got the ray tubes that bulge out? And then you look at today's TV and you go, how could anybody have ever watched anything on that, right? But what I'm saying is we always desire. This is why there's like a new iPhone almost every year. This is why there's always something new, something, come on, right? This will make you happy for like 5 minutes. And then one of your kids hurts themselves or something happens or somebody's sick or you can't pay a bill. No, okay. And the happiness goes away, right? Comes, goes. Or you realize how much you paid for that thing and you're like, I probably shouldn't have paid that much. The happiness goes as soon as you realize what you just did. Oh, see? But joy doesn't do that. Joy is always coming from within. Amen? You just open up the word of God. Oh, God, you're so good. You worship God in the morning. Oh, you're so good. And what does that cost? It's free, right? Free. The interesting thing about possessions, though, is they can possess us, right? If you're, there's nothing wrong with having stuff, okay? I'm not saying that. It's just when the stuff owns you. You know, I love you guys, brothers. And I like cars, right? Just as much as the rest of you. But you know what, brother? If you've taken longer than an hour to wash your car, it's called a massage. It's okay to say, yeah, I love that car. Don't love the car. You're not going to be able to marry it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we just get so much into our stuff. And we rely on stuff for our happiness. But everything's going to break. Everything's going to burn. It's all going to go away. And it's not like we can take it to heaven with us. We can't say, hey, you know, when I go and I'm in the coffin, you know, just write me a check and throw it in there and bury with me with you know, my iPhone and all this kind of stuff, because I really want to take it with me. I mean, that's what the Egyptians did, but that's not what it is, right? Because when we get to heaven and we're standing before the throne of God and stand before him in all his glory, we're going to be like, wow. And we're going to forget about all that stuff. You remember iPhones? What's an iPhone? Oh, I'm sorry. I was staring at Jesus. I was too busy staring at Jesus in all his glory. Oh my gosh, God, you're so awesome. Who cares about the stuff, right? But we do. Because don't we bow to our idols? Don't we? Because I see some of you walk across the street every day. Yes. Yes. I worship you, old phone. Yes, I do. I do. That's a car! Please don't do that crossing the street, gang. That's a safety issue. But that's the thing. We get so wrapped up in our own little worlds. I'm sorry I'm picking on some of you guys, but even me, I can get into that. If you have enough time, you're thinking, man, I don't have time for prayer. Well, you know what? Put down the Facebook. Put down some of the apps. Put down that little game that you're playing and pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Amen? And just get God into your life. I'm not saying throw all this stuff away. I'm not being an aesthetic or like one of these monks. Some of these Christians, and Paul talked against them. They would just deny themselves any kind of worldly pleasures at all. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying don't let your possessions possess you. Is that good? Everything's a tool, even money. Now, what about money? Woo! The pastor's going to talk about money. Oh, man, I invited my friends here. Pastor, no, this is not a tithing message. Don't even worry about that. You ever hear that money is the root of all evil? I just misquoted the scripture. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is just a tool. Money's nothing. Money is just for us to use. If you have that attitude about money, it's a tool for you to use, it's fine. But if money becomes your God, if it's a carrot and a stick syndrome, if you're like, wow, the grass is greener on the other side. I want to keep up with the Joneses. Man, they got a car. They got a boat. I want a car. I want a boat, right? And you covet. And you're like, I need more money. See, that becomes idolatry. You're like worshiping. But if you have your money and you're like, okay, what do I need to do? Pay bill. Oh, somebody needs help? Okay, I'm going to help them. Oh, I want to tithe. Boom. But if you find yourself in giving, when you're in a position to give and you can't, you're going, oh, maybe there's a hole there on your heart. See, it's not a money issue. It's a heart issue. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Now, you'll notice if you read on further, this is the one where he says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, right? He's not saying rich people can't go to heaven. If everybody sold their possessions, if every Christian on the earth sold their possessions and gave them away, where would the Christians be who helped the other believers? Where would all the philanthropists, where would all these godly men and women be who fund the various ministries, right? That's not what he's saying. We're missing the point. And see, they try and use this in politics against us and say, oh, you know, being rich is wrong, right? You got to be dirt poor. Well, if everybody was poor, who'd provide the jobs? Where are the godly employers? It has nothing to do with money, everything to do with my heart. Talk about the one percenters. Oh, man, the one percenters, you got to take that money and redistribute it to the rest of us. That's called coveting. It's a sin. No, that is not the Bible. The Bible doesn't teach that, right? So we got to check some of the attitudes we have and the opinions that come at us through the airwaves, through the social media and whatnot. And what does the Word of God say? This guy, he went away sad because he had a lot of stuff, but it was because his heart was with his stuff. He couldn't, and Jesus knew that. And then if you look in Mark, it says that Jesus loved him. Jesus saw him and loved him. And all Jesus was sad because this guy desired his stuff more than he desired God. You don't want to lose your soul. What does it matter if I gain the whole world but lose my soul, right? What does it matter if I gain all this stuff? I have the nice car. I have the nice house. I have the wonderful job. I have that title. And going back to performance, yeah. Anybody work customer service? Some kind of customer service. And somebody on the other end of the line, you know, gets a little hot, right? Get a little salty. And what do they say? Do you know who I am? And you're like, no, but I'm sure you're going to tell me. Why, you know. And then they rattle off, I'm this, I'm that. And I mean, they got a title, and they're so proud of that title that they have. And it's like, brother, you could lose that title in a minute. You could lose your stuff in a minute. Tornado comes, gone. Tsunami comes, gone, right? The job is what you do. It's not who you are. And even if you're a high-ranking official, whether you're civilian or military, and that's, you know, it's great. But the thing is, that's not your identity. When you're a Christian, your identity is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? And I'm not saying we disrespect people's office. I'm not saying that. This is for us personally. If you hold a high office, or if you're especially proud of that, that's great. You can take pride in your own work that you do as long as you don't compare it with another person. Okay? It's okay to say, oh, man, I worked hard, but you know what? I'm kind of happy with the work I did. That's okay. It's when we go, man, but I really did better than that guy over there. Okay, that's not cool. Not cool. You don't want to do that. But Jesus says, look, you lose your life for me, you'll gain it. He's not saying, again, that we can't have things or that we can't have money or that, you know, we shouldn't try to reach for that job that we desire, but everything in perspective. Jesus is first. As long as he's first, and he's our guide, and he's our wisdom, and we pray, Lord, what do you think about this job? Well, Lord, I have this extra money. What would you like me to do with it? I pray about things I buy. Lord, well, most of the time. I mean, not when I go grocery shopping. I just get stuff. But if I'm going to make a big purchase, sometimes I'm, you know, God, do I need that right now? Because how many of you know you can justify what you need? Oh, I need that. It's faster. It's better. Right? And so make sure that you don't have two masters. You don't have money and God. You can't. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve money and serve him. You have to serve one or the other. The cool thing is if you choose to serve Jesus, he'll take care of the other issue. Isn't that cool? He does. I've seen him do it. I worried about money. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, oh, forget it. Lord, I just trust in you. Whoa, okay. Things are taken care of. Okay, good. Praise God. You put him first. You have faith in him. He takes care of the bills. He takes care of the money issues. He takes care of all that. When you give out, it's given back to you, overflowing. See, we're to be used like vessels in this world. As we live by faith, the vessels of God, he gives to us, we give to others, he gives more to us, we give out, we just keep giving out, he'll keep giving us. He'll keep filling us up. The same thing with anything else, not just money and things, But just that it begins to make us into a different kind of person, this new creation. We become a new creation. As we give out and God pours into us, we become more and more like Jesus. Because how many of you guys know that's what Jesus did? When the moment he started his ministry, but he poured himself out constantly to the point of exhaustion. Why do you think he went away and said, I got to rest? I might be God, but this is the body of flesh. And we're napping. One of the things you might not realize is Jesus slept a lot whenever he could. He was napping in the boat. There's a little pillow on his head. And they're like, wait, there's a storm. I'm sure he was thinking, oh, really? Woo, okay, be still. We done? But he poured himself out. He experienced the weaknesses of the flesh, but as he poured himself out, the Father poured into him. And as we don't worry about performance, and we don't worry about our possessions, and our identity is in Christ, he will give us all that we need for the day, the week, the year.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.